Okay, so welcome to the women's section. Esther Malka, Afin Hayubos Ones. Oh, that's why we're over here. So I just want to talk maybe 10 insights on the Mesiras Nefesh and the power of Klai Yisrael. We're 1 week away. I prepare for the Yontif. We thank very much to Rabbi and Mrs. Ronald Gross, memory of his father, Moshe Pesach Nissen Ben Svi Hirsch HaKoyen, and memory of his mother, Rabbanit Fruma Bas Harav Noach Zev. This should be a male tzosher for us and all of Klai Yisrael. Push them with the Balsi Ben Rekabatya. Here we go. We can't start Purim without going to the Parsha, just a tad. Chavetz Chaim is a beautiful ideal, really at the end of the Parsha. The Pasuk says that you have to bring this certain type of carbon, and suddenly the Torah gets very sensitive to people's money. So they say, the Torah says, if you have enough money to bring two birds, bring the pigeons, and if you don't have enough, you can even bring the lowest level, which was the carbon mincha, which is just a flower. And the Chavetz Chaim is such a beautiful idea. He says that the Torah understands that different people have different abilities and different kochos, people to what they give to the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Chavetz Chaim, each one of us can give what we can give. When it comes to tzedakah, you give what you can give. Mikevan shekein. You have to do what you have to do. Kadosh Baruch is not going to look at Ploni and say, why aren't you giving like Almoni? No, everyone has to give what they can give. And I thought to be able to take that message of just doing what you can. A little mesiras nefesh for the Ribono Shel Olam. No one's asking us to give millions and trillions of dollars of stucco. Kadosh Baruch Hu maybe doesn't want us to learn for 24 hours a day. But the times that we do have to learn, to Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's just as precious as anything else. If you go to page 3, insight number 2, really I thought connected this so beautifully, the Chavetz Chaim. This is the Ish Kodesh. Pizetz the Rebbe, Klonim is Kamish, Zuchus HaGinel Hashem Kom Domam. We know the rabbi of the Warsaw Ghetto, who unfortunately was killed, whose Torah is mamish being spread out like wildfire throughout the world. So he quotes Purim. Can you imagine Purim in the Warsaw Ghetto, 1940? Just imagine how awful that was. Right. And he quotes the Zohar, who tells us Purim Yom Ki Yom Kippurim. And he says, the famous Zohar, that Purim is like the day of Purim is like the day of Yom Kippur. So he says, what's the deeper idea here? He says, Shekamo Yom Kippur Ma'itanis Vatshuva Biyomzel Loim Rotsa Osam Hadom Lasososa Osa. You don't can't choose whether you're feeling to fast Yom Kippur or not. You fast because that's the rule. Rak bein imrotze bein lo. Such powerful words. Whether you like it or not, you're going to fast. Mekayim ne'gzeiras HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're going to do the gzeira. I've never seen such a beautiful and such a pashut way to look at Purim. Kein gam simchas Purim. The same way of Purim. You know, I don't know about you guys. Sometimes Purim, the Yitzhar is like, he doesn't want us to, like one of the kids does something, your wife says something, something doesn't go your way, and sometimes the Yitzhar wants, he knows the koch of the day. He says, just like you have to force yourself to fast on Yom Kippur, you have to force yourself to be happy on Purim. The wild analogy, no? Imagine where he is in history, where he is physically, emotionally, spiritually. Lo rak ima odame atzma besimcha wa akopanim the matzav sheyachol esmoch. Only when you want to be happy, when you made a good deal. And he's literally talking while there's Jewish blood flowing through the streets of Poland. Ragamhu b'shap b'shiflas u'b'shivias halev. Even when you're down, hamav chol ruach nirmas choku shetzarach agopanim eze nitzos shel simcha lahachnis alibo. Unbelievable. Can you imagine? And for us, okay, so we don't get a shalachmanas from this person, or we get someone says this, or we didn't get an eye to this suitor, and like the whole day is shot. Kidding me? Look what the Ish Kodesh is saying over here. It says the same way a person has the Yom Kippur, Purim is Yom Kippur. Psychologically, it's such a beautiful idea. Do what you can. Don't throw the whole day away. You know the Mesiras Nefesh of just a little bit of Simcha on Purim does? It's an incredible thing. The essence of a Jew is to be happy on Purim. Yitzhar knows very strongly.
That's why Purim is the least observed holiday amongst Jews throughout the world. I'm talking about
people. Yeah.
Because it's much easier to fast for
Jews
than to feast them.
Oh, well, it's much easier to fast than to feast. Ooh, that's a good line. Much easier to fast than to feast.
Think about, look at the world. I non-Jews.
Right, they go to work. Thursday's going to be a work day. It's a work day.
How many people have a Sukkot's Purim?
Yeah.
How many have my Purim people?
Yeah.
General.
Yeah, general. Psh. It's much easier to... Fasting. It's much easier. Yom Kippur is much... It's about... Wow. Never looked at it. I like... That's a guy... That'll be like a good title for a shir. Better to fast than to feast.
Not better.
No, easier, easier. But we actually said last week that Purim's on a higher level. Yom Kippur is very easy. It's Yira, it's fear. But Purim, you're doing everything, Ava. Doing an Ava, do with the Simcha. That's the higher level. Adin number three that I think really shows this what it means to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we know in the Megillah and Perek Gimel, and we are introduced to Mordechai really in Perek Beis. But we know that. That all the servants of Haman have the command to bow down to Haman. Vavdei Amelach Asher B'Shar Amelach, Kedushas Levi says page 4. Kor Mishachrim the Haman, Ki Ken Si V'Lo Amelach, Mordechai Lo Yichrav V'Lo Yishtachba. Right, the pasuk says that all the servants were commanded, that Mordechai did not and would not and will not bow down. So the Kedushas Levi says, Kedushas Levi gets so beautiful here. I think we mentioned it last week. Yesh Ledaktik B'Chi Lo Yada Haman Shem Mordechai Hu Yehudi. You don't think Haman knew that Mordechai was a Jew? Hallo Chashev, who ate Sal Melech? Mordechai Yosef B'Shar Melech? We know that Haman was even Mordechai's servant. So what is Mordechai going around saying, hey, by the way, Haman, I'm not bowing down to you because I'm a Jew. Says the Kedushas Levi, if you look actually closely at the Pesukim, Ki Chein Siv Elo HaMelech refers to the rest of the Achashverosh's Chevra, the rest of the ministers. They had the command. But who didn't have the command? Who had the patur? Mordechai had the patur. So when Mordechai, Haman's going around, everyone's bowing down to him, and Mordechai doesn't bow down, Mordechai says out loud, Ki higi lahem! You want to know why I'm not bowing down to you? Ooh, I like the acoustics in here. Ki higi lahem! I'm not bowing down to you, not because Achashverosh told me I don't have to, it's because I'm a Jew. It's like he's trying to like start up a little bit with Haman, starting up. Sfarim said that he's really being metakin what his great great grandfather Yaakov did when Yaakov bowed down to Esav. He had to fix that as well. I saw another idea. I forgot who says this. Who says this idea? You have to forgive me. I forget. Why didn't he?
Because he was not. He was the only one that did not bow down to Esav.
Oh,
Binyamin.
Right, Binyamin.
Binyamin wasn't born yet.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Right, so that was the whole Indian. Right. But I think Rav Yonasan Eibshitz says a deeper answer. Why? Just bow down. You're putting Klai Yisrael on the line. What's the big deal? I thought the other idea Rav Yonasan, I think it's Rav Yonasan Eibshitz says, that Mordechai had a game plan. What was his game plan? So beautiful. He wanted Haman to get upset at him, kill him, and then what happened was he knew Baruch HaKodesh, Mordechai knew, that a few days later, Haman's going to want to kill the Jewish people. So Achashverosh doesn't say, what are you doing? The only reason why you're doing that is because you're biased because Mordechai didn't bow down to you. So Mordechai was willing to take the self-sacrifice for himself. It's a great, great ploy, no? An amazing ploy. I've never seen that. I always knew the Avodah Zarah, the pestle that he had on his neck, Yaakov and Esav. That was a very, very nice idea.
Was he allowed to?
I'm not getting into halacha. The halacha shirim, you could ask all the people who know halacha. And I'm here to give machshava and stuff. At the end of the day, the Kedushas Levi is saying, Mordechai had every reason to bow down, and he didn't. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every Jew has that with the Mesirus Nefesh inside of them, to be Moisus Nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moving on to idea number four. Idea number four, which is page 5, little out of, not out of order, but always the title page always gets a page, very important. So earlier on in the story of the Megillah, we know that this whole thing happens with Big Son Meseresh. But later on in Perek Vav, The pasuk calls him Big Sonna the Seresh. So why the change? The Majlis Rebbe says the Yisa Bracha. Yisa Bracha asks, why the change? It says Big Sonna Seresh, and then Big Sonna this Seresh. He quotes the Rebbe of Kushmir, and he says that according to the Rashi and Megillah to Zion and Manaf, the person who was writing down, right, the whole story with Mordechai, when Mordechai saved the king's life,
the scribe,
and what they wrote down what Mordechai did. He was also a Russian. He was a Soyne Yisrael. Gemara. And what did he do? He didn't want Mordechai to get the credit. He didn't want to get Mordechai to get the credit of what he did. So what did he do? He put down what happened, but he wrote it, Big Son, O Terah, O Seresh, to make sure that the details will be a little off. You want to get Mordechai the credit, but he's not going to get the full credit. Ki'ilu, right in the middle of the paragraph, Ki'ilu rak echar mishomrei hasaf bikish, Mordechai lo yada ezu, la'achar zman, Kashim Sukhats Baderach Safik. They're going to see that it was wrong, a little doubt. They weren't sure which one it was. Yatsa La'az Amordechai Mashin Ergu Shneam Ayodom Avki Echad Hayachaf Mibabshea. Ooh. He even says it deeper. He says Mordechai's going to get in trouble. Not only is Mordechai not going to get the reward, but because what he did.
One was innocent,
and he got both of them killed. So what did Kadosh Baruch Hu do? Kadosh Baruch Hu, Dafka brought down the word O. And what did he do with the word O? He separated it. Big Sana got the Aleph, and Viseresh got the Vav. It's an incredible insight. The Malach came down. You do the right thing, the Rabbanu Shem will take care. An incredible story, no? An incredible vort. Maybe that's a good vort to say maybe at the Suda. Probably at the beginning of the Suda. Once it gets to the middle, it's very hard to like get the whole room. Yeah, Nataka. Such a beautiful idea. Mesiras Nevesh for the Rabbanu Shem, Kadosh Baruch Hu always take care. Before we go move to page 6 and 7, my new favorite Sefer and Perm from last week, I showed you guys. What's this whole Inyan by Esther and Mordechai and Esther? Esther is quoting Mordechai. Mordechai wants Esther to get the credit. Right? And that whole Inyan with Big Son and Teresh. They each want each other get the credit. And the Mishnah says a Pirkei Avos, Ha'omer Dover B'Shem Amro, maybe Gulu Yolam. When you say something in someone's name, you bring Gula to the world. Yes. That's why my Rabbi Simon, he's always saying, oh, like Rav Shechter said, like he's always saying it. So you say something in someone's name that brings redemption, what's pshat? So I saw the Yosef Lekach, and I've heard before, the Al-Sheikh supposed to say the same idea. When you have the Mesiris Nefesh, and you have the Avos Yisrael, that you want someone else to get the credit. You want someone else to get the credit. Sensitivity, Esther wanted Mordechai. Mordechai wanted Esther. They had this whole battle back and forth. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, whoa, look at this Avos Yisrael. Look at this beautiful Mesiris Nefesh they have for each other. That's Geula. That's Avos Chinam. I thought that, I'm sorry I didn't give it to you inside, but that, I thought that very much connected to that. So you could put that in your four, in your idea number four, 4A and 4B. 4B and 4C. Good. Moving on to idea number five. Idea number five is page 6 of Avi Feiner. This is a beautiful sefer called Shoshana Siakov Avinom, Perm Inspirational in Depth. So he quotes about the Chevron and Megillah that people really don't know. I mean, I don't know so much about him, but Chevrona. People say Chevrona was Eliyahu. There's different things of who Chevrona was. But he also says the same thing with Chevrona. Chevrona is spelled differently in different places in the Megillah. First Chevrona in the beginning of the Megillah is spelled with a hey, with an aleph, excuse me. And then, later on, when Chevrona says about, the, right, by the way, he's the one who says, by the way, Achashverosh, there's a tree over there. He's 50 feet high. It's spelled with a hey. So he asked, what's pshat? Why is Chevrona spelled differently? Is this another Malach thing happening over here? What's going on? So let's just read it inside. Chevrona did not merely point out the gallows to Achashverosh, but he also informed Achashverosh that the gallows were originally intended for Mordechai, who spoke good regarding the king. It seems clear that Chevrona intended to further inflame Achashverosh's wrath against Haman, so that Haman would be hanged in place of Mordechai. Hung. However, in order to gain an even greater appreciation of the magnitude of Chevrona's great act, we need to take a better look at his background. The Gemara Megillah tells us that Chevrona was originally involved in Haman's evil plot against the Jews. The Gemara says in Tezayim and Aleph, and he was one of Haman's Chevra. He's one of his bouncers, one of his Chevra. The Marshal explains, how did the Chachamim know this? Because, just think about it, Chevrona knew the exact amount, the exact gallows. Like, how did he know that? So how else would he have known the gallows was exactly 50 cubits high if he had not been intricately involved in Haman's scheme? We see, therefore, that Chevrona turned from being one of Haman's co-conspirators into his enemy, and ultimately because the cause of Haman's hanging. In one instant, b'shas achas, says Rabbi Feiner, quoting the Marsha, Chevrona completely turned around his life. While originally intending to kill Mordechai and the Jews, he actually assisted in saving them. Someone could be so off, and it could be so, and he's just like, you know what? I want to change my life. I just want to change a little bit. So the question is, how did he do it? How did he do it? So we go to page 7. Benjamin is idea number 6. So Rabbi Feiner continues. A life-changing moment is alluded into the change of spelling of Chevrona's name, from the Aleph to the Hey. The change at the end of his name from an Aleph to Hey was very significant. The Beis Yosef writes in Hilchos Gidin and Evan Ezer, Simin Kuf Chav Tes. If there's a vowel of Kamatz, ooh, now we're getting to the Lacha here. If there's a vowel of a Kamatz at the end of a name that is not in Lashon HaKodesh, there would be an aleph at the end of the name. But whenever there's a vowel sound of a kamatz at the end of a name that is in Lashon HaKodesh, there would be a hey at the end. Says Rabbi Feiner, it is possible then that Charvona had his name changed from an aleph to an hey. Because at the end of his name, at the very moment he felt regret over his partaking in Haman's plot, and seized the opportunity to turn things around by having Haman's executed. Therefore, the Megillah records his name as Charvona with a hey, specifically at the moment of transformation, in order to indicate he instantly elevated himself into a level of Kedusha. And Rav Hurtner explains on the bottom, I didn't give you the whole piece. Rav Hurtner explains, the Gemara tells us in Menachos, I believe on Daf Chavav, that the world is created with the letter hey. He changed himself. He had mysterious nefesh. When he decided that he wasn't a winner picker, right? My boys would say, oh, you're a winner picker. He's a winner picker. He saw that Haman was going down and Mordechai was going up. Obviously, it had to happen before. At the end of the day, because he transformed himself, and he even quotes the Tosos in Chagiga that tells us that Avram and Sarah became Avram is Avraham and Sarah is Sarah. The letter hey means you're going up in Kedusha. Hey means that you're doing the right thing. You're going up. That your mysterious nefesh, you dafka, you be able to be able to be, you're in. You want to grow, you're in it. He changed his name, like the Rambam says. When someone does tshuva, you change your name. You're a different person. Chapare. Chapare.
Ish.
Yeah.
How do you improve an ish?
Oh.
You put a hey at the end.
Ooh.
It becomes an isha.
Ooh. Isha. You're in the hay.
You add it.
It just came to me.
It's the Kedusha. It's the Kedusha of the women's section.
Is that what it is?
Oh, it's Kedusha of the women's section. Ish and Isha. By the way, I don't want to get Kabbalistic here, but a lot of poskim, a lot of rabbanim say that when someone has a child that is a female, it's very important to make sure that the name has as either ends with an A or has a A. I can't tell you why. The hay is very much connected to the world of Nekevus. Parenthetical note, I can't tell you more on that, but just know that. So,
another parenthetical note.
So there you go.
In Israel, when they do a planogram,
yeah.
If the Spartan, they don't give the sex up to the parents.
Okay.
In case it's a girl.
Okay. Nope, we're not going to be... We just have healthy children. That's Baruch Hashem.
Right.
All right, the healthy children. Ma'isa, good. So let's just review before we go on to the last four ideas. We said the Chavetz Chaim. The Chavetz Chaim told us about the different types of karbanos. Try your best. Whatever you could bring. You could bring the pigeons. You could bring the birds. Whatever, Kadosh Baruch Hu. Whatever you could do for the Ribbono Shel Olam. A little Mesir Snefesh for Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Eish Kodesh explained, even when Purim isn't going your way, Yom Kippur is Kippurim, right? You're gonna fast whether you like it or not. Whether Purim is going your way, just try your best to be a little bit Simcha, a little Mesir Snefesh. The Kedushas Levi, Mordechai was like, Shtoching, Haman, I didn't have the Pator. I had the Pator, I didn't have to bow down to you. I'm not bowing down to you because I'm a Jew. Ki higi lahem asher Yehudi. The Isa Bracha. That the Sonia Yisrael of the scribe writing the whole thing down about Big Son Viserish, he wrote the letters Big Sana and Viserish. The Malach came down and split it up in the beginning of Perek Vav to make sure that Mordechai's Mesiris Nefesh would not go unlooked. And of the two ideas from Rabbi Eitan Feiner's brother, he said the Inyan of Charvona, he was that at the end he was a different world. Charvona at the beginning of the Megillah, different Charvona at the end was a different person. Right at the beginning. He wanted to put Mordechai on the gallows, and at the end of the day, he was the one who told Achashverosh. By the way, the 50 cubits, that's the Haman Mamish. He made it for himself. And Rabbi Feiner explained that's the whole essence why he was able to change is because he changed himself, and that's why his name was changed from an Aleph to an Hey, because Hey goes up in Kedusha, Hey from that Halacha in Hilchos Gidin. Moving on to idea number 7, I'm actually going a little bit out of order, but in Vanahalfuchot it's Purim. Esther. Back going a little further front to the Megillah. The king loved Esther. As the Shaul Meshav of Yosef Shaul Nathanson, why did he love her so much? What was so special about her? So the Pasuk says, Lo Hagida Esther es Amal Vavilis Mol Adata. Right? She didn't tell you where she was from or which nation she was from. What was Achashverosh's whole thing about Vashti? Right? This is the whole Malbim on the Megillah. I've been learning a little bit Malbim from the Megillah, so he explains, I had this struggle. You think you're the king because of yourself? You're only king because of me, Vashti was saying. Because you married into the Mishpacha. That's what Achashverosh made this whole party. Yeah. Achashverosh made this whole party just to show you that it's not about you. And Vashi said, oh yeah, you want to have a party? I'm going to have a party right now too. Says the Shaul Meshiv, you want to know why he loved her so much? It's because she had this certain midah of hachna. She had this certain level of not saying a word where she's from. While Vashti was so was going off about her lineage. Everything was about her lineage, where she was from. She was the benahafachu of Vashti. She was the opposite. She had the messiah's nefesh. No, I'm not going to say anything. And that's vayav as hamalachas Esther. He davka loved her because she had that. She had that. By the way, it's not like he didn't want to know where she was from. But the initial thing, that the initial point why he loved her so much is because he really saw the opposite of Vashti in Esther. Just moving on to the last two ideas, come out from the Sfas Emes and a beautiful Maisa from Chaim Velazhiner. So we have to throw in a little Parsha Zachar. The Gemara tells us, the Sfas Emes tells us in Tuf Reish Nun Gimel, that the Gemara tells us in Megillah Yuchesim and Alf, that Zachar, you have to remember Bepeh. You have to remember with your lips. Ki Bekoach HaPeh, Shenisim Lebnei Yisrael, Yichol Limchos Zichar Amalek. The only way to be able to beat Amalek, the only way to eradicate Amalek, is Dafka with your Peh. And how do you do it? Behu Bekoach HaTorah. Lechein Tiknu Lekros Parsha Zachar B'Shabbos, Sheish Bo Kriyas HaTorah Shemeskal Koach HaTorah B'Shabbos. And the Sfas has a whole explanation here, that the whole inyan of Amalek, right, Zachar about Amalek, Zachar B'Peh, it has to be on Shabbos. Because Shabbos is the day of Torah. It's a day that it's the day of the Koach HaTorah B'Shabbos. We know Klai still got the Torah on Shabbos. You can't just have Parsha Zachar on a Wednesday or a Tuesday. It's got to be a Dafka on Shabbos. Rav Shor has this whole thing how he compares Zachar and Zachar. Zachar is Yom Shabbos Akacho, and Zachar Esa Shazul Chal Malik. There are two Zachars that really go very much hand in hand. But he says here, the whole Indian of Parsha Zachar, it's Dafka, the mysterious Nefesh of Torah. If you want to understand, it's the Koach HaBittul, right? You have to know over there. Then when a Jew comes to Shabbos, the Yitzhahara is mevatel himself. Yitzhahara is quenched, and a person's able to tap into that light, to tap into that light of Shabbos, to tap into that Nisham Yisera. And finally, Adiyah number 10 on page 10, Adiyah number 9, excuse me, and then the Maisa is 10, on from the Sas Emesh and Tav Reish Mem Ches. So the Gemara tells us, Tazayin Mebez, La Yehuda Maisa Ora V'Simcha V'Sasam Yikar. The Gemara says, Ora is the Torah, Ora refers to Torah, Simcha refers to Yontif, Soson is Mila, and Yikar is Tefillin. And Sas Emes says, just say those mitzvos. If they kept those mitzvos extra special in Shushan after the Maisa, just say it straight out. Why do you have to have this whole drusha that this is this and this is that? What's the shot? Mashina, because of his time of Allah, Pirish, Yehuda Maisa, Torah, of a Yontif, a Mila, a Tefillin. The Pasuk should have just said, we should say it every Motzei Shabbos, the Jews had Torah, Yontif, a Mila, a Tefillin. Why do we have to read it like this? Roundabout way. Tabiyah have the drusha. Avala Inyan, who's such a beautiful Sfas Emes. Shezeh Atzmu Haya Hagu'ula V'Hayishush Yigush B'nei Yisrael Zos B'Nafshus B'Nafshasa. You want to know what they felt, what the ultimate redemption was when they survived? Is that when they had Torah, they had light. They opened up a sefer, they felt the light. They felt the light. They felt the light of Tumat and Torah. And when they had Yontif, they felt the Simcha. And when they had Bris Milah, they had such a joy, the Sasam. And when they put that Tzvilin Shalyan, Tzvilin Sharosh, they felt the glory of what it means to be a Jew. So it's not just giving you like a little bit of a nice fancy drasha. It's telling you that they felt those feelings at the end of the story of Purim. They felt it. Because that was the Mesiras Nefesh of Klai Yisrael. The Geula of Klai Yisrael, excuse me, the Geula of Klai Yisrael was that their Nefesh felt those things when they had it. Torah wasn't something that was boring, it was their spiritual essence. Yontif is Mamash the Simcha, Milo is the Sason, and that the glory, the crown glory, was Mamash the Tefillin. And that was the Geula. Because that comes from the Mesiras Nefesh, the Koach of Tshuva. He says that the whole, end of the day, that's the whole essence of Purim. Chai Olam Nata B'Sochenu. That's not something that next Thursday or next Friday, we're not the same person. We go through a Purim. We're going through in our souls. We're reconnecting ourselves. We're recommitting ourselves to a light, to the Sason, to the Simcha, to the Yikar, to those things. And just to finally to end off with idea number 10. Idea number 10 you don't have. I have it right over here. Story goes, I'm just going to paraphrase a little bit from over here. The story goes, it was the Purim Suda of Chaim Velazhiner. Right, so everyone thinks that Mirzav only quotes Hasidish stuff. So I'm gonna give you a maisa from Rav Chaim Velazhiner's Suda. So the story goes, Rav Chaim was sitting down by his Mishnah, and there are many poor people there stopping to get Matanos of Yonim from him. One of them, an elderly individual, came, and then Rav Chaim gave him his, what he's giving everyone else. Everyone got one envelope, one coin. And he said to Rav Chaim, he says, if you give me an additional coin, I'll give you a nice vort with the Yontov of Purim on the Megillah. So Rav Chaim said, of course. And he gave him this following question. He says, where in the Megillah is there an allusion to that Chamim state in the Midrash that the decree of the annihilation against the Jews was sealed in heaven with clay, but not with blood? And Klai Yisrael was able to overcome with tshuva, with tefillah, with mesiras nefesh. Where does it say that it was clay, but not with blood? And the guy didn't give Rav Chaim a second to breathe, and he answered his own question by quoting the pasuk of the Megillah. The pasuk says in Perek Gimel, pasuk test, Im ha-malach tov yikosev la'abdam. If it's good for the king, let them be lost from the world. So he says, la'abdam seems to be such a interesting la'abdam. So he says, la'abdam doesn't say for it to destroy them. La'abdam is two words. Lo bedam. Lo bedam. Im ha-malach, right? Ha-malach. Ha-malach refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Im ha-malach tov, it's good for the king, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yikosev lo bedam. Do it without blood, meaning do it with clay and not with blood, because blood means it's sealed, it's done, it's finished. Clay means okay, I can overturn this now, with davening, with tshuva, and that's what the Chachamim knew. And Rav Chaim was so enamored by this beautiful interpretation, he runs over to his Rebbe the Gra. I don't know if he texted him, he called him, he went over to him, he went to the Gra during his next trip to Vilna, and he told him this vort. And Rav Chaim conveyed this man's novel idea to his Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon, and he was astounded and responded to Rav Chaim that elderly man who told you this word is the same person who revealed that idea to Mordechai HaTzadik. And who was that? It was Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi came to your Suda, and Eliyahu HaNavi told Mordechai that it was Im ha-malach tov yikosev la'abdam. La'abdam means lo-bedam. You got to work hard, get Klai Yisrael, lechenos klai yudim, gather everyone together, daven together, you got to do tshuva because it's with clay, it's not with blood. Start putting a little effort into your Yiddishkeit, because at the end of the day, Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying, right now it's clay, it's not blood. La'abda means lo b'dam. That's the message, I think, at least for me. Just to be able to understand that you think that your Yiddishkeit doesn't mean anything to the Rabbonu Shalom. Every piece of our Judaism means so much to the Rabbonu Shalom. To the Chavetz Chaim, just do what you can. Fi ha'yicholes, like the Eish Kodesh says, Yismoach esnat v'tzarech luzmach rak im b'shifos, just a little bit. You know how precious that is to the Rebbeinu Shem? A little mysterious nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a little bit of extra learning, a little more kavana, a little bit of mashal my bias. Don't think, if you can't do everything, I'm done, I'm out. A little bit more. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless us. We should take these ideas of mysterious nefesh, which is the whole Indian of the whole story of Purim. And as Hashem, we show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want to be a little bit better. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring us ultimate geula. V'zoch tov, v'dalein Megillah Yerushalayim HaKadosh. Shkoyach. Good Purim, good Shabbos. Yeah, Freilichen Purim.
You talked about that.